Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is Hagman Report for today. This is a special episode, Week in Review. With me is Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. We got so much to get into. Folks, did you hear, in fact, it has been reported numerous places, but the Gateway Pundit reported about 20 supporters seated behind President Trump rushed to the ER with blurred vision, eye burns after rally in Tucson. Now, this is a previous event, obviously. This wasn't yesterday. This is about a week, 10 days ago. But did you hear about that? All right. It's just something, just one more thing that we're looking at in a series of issues. We're going to be talking about really, really the bigger picture about that today. But again, with me is Randy Taylor coming up very soon. Before I get to Randy, I just want to mention this. There are three harmful foods. Go to three harmful foods, the number three harmfulfoods.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. Folks, we live in the most advanced era in modern human history. There's never been more medical breakthroughs than there are right now. So my question to you and everyone else is, why are millions of Americans more unhealthy and overweight than they've ever been? You've got to ask yourself those questions. Now, according to U.S. Board Certified Physician and Expert Nutritionist Dr. Amy Lee, one of the main reasons is three harmful foods that are being passed off as health foods all over the country. Because these foods cause weight gain, clog your digestive tract, deplete your energy, and wreck your skin, they're banned in other countries. Did you know that? Yet, shockingly, they're still legal in the U.S., and it's time someone shined a light on what they are. And Dr. Amy Lee does just that while explaining how the side effects from these foods are wreaking havoc on our health and the health of millions of Americans, that is. But there's good news. There's great news, as a matter of fact. It's easy to stop and reverse this damage by simply learning which foods to avoid and how to spot them. And by doing so, you can experience easier weight loss, smooth digestion, and vibrant energy. And we all need all of that, let me tell you. So to find out what these three fake foods are, three fake health foods, go to harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. That's the number harmfulfoods.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman, or just click the link in the description box below. And after years of extensive study, Dr. Amy Lee put together this really, it's a great video. It's revealing. It's totally free to the public, so you never get duped by these foods again. So find out all you need to know to regain control over your body at threeharmfulfoods.com or click the link in the description box below. I want to thank them for partnering up with us. I want to thank you folks for your belief, your trust, and your support. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. A little program note. I'm not sure about this. Next Monday, perhaps Monday and Tuesday, we may not be broadcasting those 2 days. I just can't get into it, okay? But I just want to kind of put that out there. If we are dark, it's because there's something going on that we need to address. I'll just leave it at that. And if not, no worries. No worries. We'll be back. Well, either way, we'll be back. All right. Randy Taylor. Let's bring on. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Doug?
Just fine.
Hunky dory.
Yeah.
It's yellow tie day.
Oh.
Yeah, you like that yellow? It's actually a silk kind of, you can't really see it.
Well, it actually looks very nice. It is.
Yeah, it's.
Your background's kind of got the gray going on, so the yellow goes with it, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like a beacon in the night, you know.
A beacon, you know.
A beacon.
I've got to tell you.
That's my favorite color.
Beacon or yellow?
Is beacon a color?
Is beacon a color? It could be.
It probably is.
Did you know that there is no purple as a color? There's never mind. I'm not going to get into that. But
in black,
the only yellow that doesn't look good is in spandex. That's the only yellow that doesn't look.
Sure
is not in spine.
See, I disagree.
What?
Oh!
Let me hear your explanation for light and yellow in spandex. I got to hear this.
This will be good. All right, get a cup of coffee, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead, Eric. Defend that position.
No, because then we'll have to re-rape this episode.
Okay, it's a family show now. Well, to the extent. Yeah, if I keep my mouth clean here. I ended yesterday's show. Now, we have a lot of stuff to get into, and we're going to get into this. I ended yesterday's show, I think, toward the end. Correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
You did end
it. I ended yesterday's show close to the end.
Close to the end. Oh, man, my head hurts, man. I feel like I have a...
We're working this guy too hard, I'm telling you. He's tired out. Ladies and gentlemen, he's tired. His plate has been full, and it's stayed full. It stays full.
It's overflowing.
It is. It is. I don't know how he does what he does.
Yeah, neither do I. Sometimes not. Something's not well. But I ended yesterday's show, or close to the end, with a Tim Walz's wife clipped it. RT, I don't know if you saw this. The clip I wanted to play yesterday, I didn't have. I had the wrong one. This is the one I wanted to see. And, you know, it's always in the eyes of these people, right? I mean, it's always in the eyes.
Let's run it, baby.
This is only 18 seconds, but this is the cut that I wanted to play yesterday. But here it is. Turn the page. Watch this one.
Oh my Donald Trump! We are turning the page. 52 days, and we are turning the page. 52 days. Bye bye, Donald Trump.
RT, is it me, or is she downright scary?
She is scary. You know what she reminds me of? There was a Bruce Willis movie, and the girl, the woman in Bruce Willis movie looked like her. A crazy woman who cut you up with a knife.
I'm trying to remember.
It's the one where he's with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
And she's part of the mercenary team. That's what she reminds me of. This woman looks crazy and.
Yeah,
like crazy, like not there,
like possessed.
Yes, that's a good word. There's a good description, Eric. Possessed. Yes,
and both of you, and to the people listening, I'm not making fun of her appearance. I'm looking at the eyes. I'm looking.
No, this
at
is mannerisms. This is mannerisms.
Yeah. It's that almost a demonic vibe.
Yeah, she serves a different master.
No, oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted people to see that because, wow,
it only lines up with her husband. He's a real piece of work.
Yeah, and he was behind her, you know, doing the clap and laugh, and the guy's got jazz hands, you know, everywhere.
Even got kind of a maniacal laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you could see him just watching children being tortured or something. I mean, I don't like the guy. I don't like him at all.
No.
I mean, I despise these two worse than when it was Biden and Harris, really.
Well, Biden could be excused because of incompetence. This is just evil, downright evil. And again, great segue, not knowing what we're going to do. This is cut one, Monica Crowley. Now, regardless of what you think of Monica Crowley or whatever, listen to what she says here, because more and more people are identifying with this line of thinking. The title of this cut one is Fighting Fundamental Evils. And it's a minute 48 seconds, all of which is important. And this really sets the stage for the rest of this episode, Fighting Fundamental Evils, Cut 1 at HagmanPI.com. By the way, please subscribe to us on Rumble, Brighteon, and follow us on X, Hagman Report, Doug Hagman, or I don't know what it is, Doug Hagman, and then RT, Randy Taylor, USA.
It's Hagman Report.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if it's me or...
But if you find me, you'll find Doug. So
there you go. And if you find me, you should find RT. So
yeah, we're there somewhere.
All right. So boy, it feels like a Monday for the end of the week. It's like a Monday. RT, cut one.
There is a fundamental evil that we are fighting in this country. We talked about this last time. This is spiritual war. This spiritual battle. So, yes, it's Trump versus Kamala. It's the system versus America First. It's all of those things. But there's something much bigger going on here. You feel it. I feel it. And when stories like this surface about Kamala Harris's pure evil in targeting this single black woman, I mean, it tells you, first of all, she didn't give a flying whit about black families. She's out there decimating them all day long. But it also points to the fundamental evil that we are confronting here. And that's why we need all good people, every America Firster, all hands on deck. TrumpForce47.com, ProtectTheVote.com. I'm involved with both of those organizations as well as the Trump campaign. Please step up and do whatever you can, because this is it, guys. We got one shot left. We are in their end game. This has been going on for a century to undermine, infiltrate, and destroy the United States of America. It is writ large. It's about the destruction of the West. That's why when you see what's going on in the UK and France and Germany and all across the board, with a few exceptions like Orban in Hungary and Giorgia Meloni doing her best in Italy, there are a few vanguards out there. But we are dealing with a widespread, long-term project to destroy the West. And if they knock over the United States, they have the West. That's what makes this election so critical. It's not just an election, it's the election.
There it is. It's not just an election, it's the election. But the emphasis here is on the spiritual part. Everyone is acknowledging that we are fighting a spiritual battle. And I'm glad to see that, because we've been talking about that for the better part of a decade, over a decade. What do you think about that?
Are people
waking up to this?
One by one by one by one?
Yeah.
Yes. We are seeing more more of a positive response towards Trump this time around. But man, it's got to be super positive, because they're going to cheat. And if you're going to beat them, you got to beat them so bad that they can't even cheat it. You know, and there is such a thing as delivering an ass whooping that bad. We can do it.
You know,
they're very excited because they have a little over 100,000 people as poll watchers. But you have well over 100,000 places where you can vote. So we need about three times that amount.
I signed up to be one, and I intend to be there all day.
I'm sure you will. I will be in the States, I'm sure, for that.
Well, and join me.
I will come down with your hat, and I will just cause trouble. We'll be handing out MAGA hats.
Yeah, no campaigning. But I'll say this: I had somebody take me to task when I said, you know, when I didn't cause trouble. I just loudly pointed out the problems with the system. The last, I think it was midterms or whatever, and one of the poll workers, an older woman, had said, "Well, you know," she was offended by what I did. It was one of our listeners, viewers, and. But the bottom line is we have to hold these people to account. And I'm not talking about the neighborhood, you know, the woman from the neighborhood who's taking down the names. I'm talking about the people who are behind the maintenance of the voter rolls and all that. All right. You know, look, the cheating has gotten so far out of hand. I think we have to go back to one ballot or one paper ballot, one person, one vote, one day. You have people that count the votes, and you know if it's an incomplete ballot or if it's a. I don't know. You just count the. Just count the votes that day.
I think that after the election, honestly, until we get this straightened out, every one of those machines needs to be seized.
Yes, I totally agree.
By a neutral party, and forensics run on each machine.
Yeah.
I know that's a lot of machines, but we're talking about our nation.
No, 100% we are.
And especially if there's an instance where you see the cheating, and you raise your hand and you say, I see it right now. That needs to be addressed right then by law enforcement.
Absolutely. And law enforcement, they've got to step up and do their job, I believe, whether it's a county sheriff or...
You could write a program that you could just walk up, stick in the machine,
yes.
Stick a card in the machine and do your forensics with that. You could write the data, write the program to do the forensics in seconds.
You could.
And that's why I'm not understanding why this hasn't been done. I'll be honest with you. I'd be happy with going back to paper ballots. I would be thrilled too to see the voting, the election results that night.
Yeah, exactly. There's absolutely no reason why it should be voting month or one day. And here's okay. Get rid of the machines. You show ID. You must be a citizen. The ID should match the voter roll, the register. Okay, mm-hmm. So your signature should match. You must show ID. Paper ballots. You have people counting the paper ballots the same day. Each precinct has, one representative of each side, so to speak, person to handle the challenges, a poll watcher. And it should be done. The voting ends at 7 p.m. Really, all the ballots should be counted by 9 p.m. And we should
I would think.
I mean, unless they got to take off their shoes and socks to count with their toes. This is how it used to be done, So, anyway.
Yeah.
But I agree with Monica Crowley, though, that this is the election. If Harris walls get in, are censored, we're going to be censored. We're going to be the guns confiscated. I'm going to tell you right now, guns confiscated.
I expect things to explode in the United States if those two jackasses get in office. They have no business running the most powerful country in the world, especially when we're teetering on the edge that we're teetering on.
Yeah.
We're talking about going to war, dude, Doug.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
Do you get any sense that either one of those idiots would understand what's happening in going in world war, especially against a nuclear enemy? This isn't fighting Saddam Hussein.
No.
This isn't taking on the Taliban in Afghanistan. We're talking about taking on an enemy that, one, shouldn't be an enemy, but two, taking on an enemy that can remove us from the face of the earth.
That's right.
The man right now, he can literally push a button and knock out our cable across the United States. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our cable. It's in the ocean. Hey. They also said that he's got charges placed in various places in the ocean that if he were to detonate them can cause serious problems on shore for America.
Well, a lot more can happen. Communications, infrastructure, all of that.
If communications went down, it would be the beginning of an end. Because without communications, the United States would be in deep trouble. If you knocked out communications, you're going to have to assume that banking got knocked out too.
And
they're using the same systems.
Yes. Everything that you can think of that runs off of cable, the internet, I suppose.
Yeah. Yep.
It's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like that. Poof. Yeah. That's scary. I mean, think about it. If you've been through a hurricane, you know how if anybody was in Florida back in, it was 2005, I believe, we had four hurricanes down there. If you were living just outside of Orlando, you didn't have power for 10 days. That took some adjusting, didn't it? I know it took adjusting. I mean, everything we did was on the grill. And you talk about dying at night in humidity. Boy, sleep in a Florida bedroom in August with no air conditioner. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
And you know, we have accepted the way of life, our ease and comfort. Traded our freedoms and we have traded our freedoms for this ease and comfort. And many people are just like okay with that. We cannot be okay with that. And again, this at the very heart of it is this spiritual battle. Now, about that. Folks know that we've been looking into specifically the Butler assassination attempt. This has been renewed this week in terms of people talking about the attempts on President Trump's life. Now, I'll say this. I believe that these are far from over. I had mentioned at the onset of today's show that there was an incident that happened in Tucson that people are still trying to figure out. RT, did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about it this morning.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is just starting to come up. And the Gateway Pundit has this. You can find this all over the place. Now you can, especially on social media. But 20 supporters in Tucson, there were two stages behind President Trump. One was to his right, one was to his left, both behind 24 people on each stage, and or on each in each place. I don't know if you would call it like bleachers or a place to stand in elevated positions. Okay, so and these people, anyone who knows anything about this, they're selected for various criteria using various criteria. So as President Trump was leaving, 20 of the 24. It would be on his left side or screen right. Got their eyes. Their eyes were burning. Their nasal passages burning. It was almost like a chemical burn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was okay. So this was last Thursday. So a week ago from Thursday, as many as 20 people were affected by symptoms that included, eye burns. Blurred vision. One passed out. A couple sought medical attention, and it appeared to be some sort of chemical, or at least the doctor said it appeared like some chemical was sprayed or otherwise got in the eyes of these supporters. This is one of the things. Please, folks, do not say, "Well, gee, I'm never going to go to an event like that." But because that's what they want. But I do believe that there's more of this. What are your thoughts on this, RT, when you saw it?
They're going to get more and more creative, okay? They've sent two snipers, possibly more, but we have two incidents involving snipers so far.
Right.
They're not, we've said this numerous times on the program. Last time I was on here with you, it's been a while, but we both said they're going to do it again. They're going to keep trying to hit President Trump. My understanding is there's $1 million bounty on his head.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah, there is.
You know, and so there's always going to be somebody out there that's going to take a shot for that reason. But there's a big, and this, I firmly believe this all goes back to Ukraine. I firmly believe it. And I firmly believe that they're trying to remove Donald Trump. And I will go as far as to say this. I can't prove it, but, you know, you can just smell some things after years of looking at things. I believe that they're going to find congressmen or senators or both or people in Washington, D.C., in the government that have something to do with this. This goes back to Ukraine. Donald Trump will not support Ukraine. And that is Washington's wash machine for money. That is their black bank. And they don't like, they wouldn't, I'm going to tell you right now, they absolutely will not have Donald Trump disrupting cash flow. These people care more about money than they do about the United States of America, and that is you and I. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably some of the ones that that's smell the most. And,
oh, yeah.
And they're snakes.
They are.
They're snakes. And one day, and listen, they're not going to get away with this. Okay, sooner or later, it's going to take some time, but sooner or later, it's going to come up. There's going to be the proof that's needed. Somebody's going to break, or there's going to be a chunk of evidence that can't be disputed. And well, only thing okay. I can say.
And to that end, let me interrupt you here because I want in full disclosure, I want people to know, you and I, I'm not going to give exact times, but within the last 4 weeks, you and I spent a lot of time in the field together in the same vehicle, looking out the same windshield, visiting. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did on-the-ground investigations, talked to people, scouted things, looked at things, followed electronic leads, read between the lines, did a lot of things, you and I. And found out a lot of information. And you and I
both
know.
This isn't a bunch of drunk rednecks, folks.
No.
This is very complex. And the very people you're supposed to trust are the ones you can't trust.
So the reason I said that is because a lot of people out there are listening to people who never set their feet on the ground. Never knocked on the door, never asked questions, never got tossed out of places, never had feds harass them.
But they're experts.
But they're automatically experts. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, because deals like that, you got to go pay your dues.
Yeah.
You know, and you're only going to really get a grasp of what's going on. You know, in person is when you get the feel.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's in person, wherever you're at. Yes.
Exactly. It's just like if you were to go to Italy, got away from the tour group, and you went and sat inside the Colosseum by yourself, and you sat there, and there would be a certain thing would literally overcome you because of what used to happen there. And that's the kind of feeling I'm talking about. You know, you'll get these. Look, there's really something wrong there, and that, you know, I don't even know what I can say and what I can't say, so I'm not going to say that.
But, well, how many times?
I'm just going to say this. You're going to get caught, whoever you are.
Yes, and how many times do we pull up? How many times do we pull up somewhere and we engaged with something, someone did something, and we both said, man, there's a whole lot wrong here. I mean, how many times did that happen?
It doesn't add up. Let's tell you, there's certain things that just don't add up. And then other things kind of, if you start down one road of thinking, a lot of things can fall in place. With this kid, people he trusted. It's very complex. You got to look at the killer.
That's a good thing to say because the other part of this is there is a connection between the Butler attempt and the attempt in Florida. 64 days in between, but there's a connection there. And I can tell you this, and I'm just going to tease you with this. One of the connections is DOD, Department of Defense, military subcontractor, among other things. But that's a big one.
Now, you're talking
I'm
people
talking
like
both
this.
Yeah. Both.
When you start getting into that and that aspect of it, people like that, they put... It's like when we went to Vietnam. There's an instance.
Yep.
Greed overrode what was right. And too often, greed has been overriding what's right. And that's exactly what's happening. Donald Trump is right, and greed is trying to overrun Donald Trump. And greed has a bunch of evil messengers. This is a fight against good and evil. Donald Trump is in danger. I get up every morning and just hope to say, you know, hope that he's alive, because I pray for him before I go to bed. God has to protect that man. And I sit there and I think, what happens if they do take him out? This country is going to just go to pieces. If these people had any sense, these people in the government, they would protect him. Protect him. And I mean protect him. Unless they want this whole deal to come apart at the seams.
All right. Exactly. Now let's get into the meat of this, because
I'm sorry. Again,
No. I love your insight.
One of the coolest things I can do, and what I enjoy, and I really, really enjoy, is getting in a vehicle with Doug and spending several days with him. You know what I mean? We've known each other for a lot of years.
And nights.
and it's a good chance just to talk.
Yeah.
And bad ideas around, you know, and play the devil's advocate and
poke the bear.
The time I spent with Doug was amazing, because it revealed a lot of things, and it did create a lot more questions. But we're going to get answers to them, someone we have answers for, but we're not. Look, whoever you are out there, you will be found out. Be sure your sin will find you out.
You know, that's one thing. You had mentioned greed, and I want people to really, really soak this in, because, you know, I spent a long time, over 3.5 decades, doing this. Again, I'm invoking my Steve Quayle sense of whatever, but you know, greed was a motivating factor in a lot of cases that I worked, because multi-millions of dollars were at stake. In this case, I look at greed, but there's also this built-in thinking, this ideology that's secondary to greed, but still there. But that ideology is what these morons, these throwaway shooters, for example, their ideology is what drives them, and belief is the driver of their action, but greed is the driver of the people behind them.
Yeah, their handlers and all.
Yeah, yeah. So you make a really good point.
No, you're right, because once you get past the shooter and into his handlers, we're past ideological at that point. We're into greed.
Yep. And it's hard to imagine selling out your country for something like money. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that thinking.
May God damn your soul.
Amen.
Whoever you are.
We're finding more and more out that is so disturbing at higher levels. For example, I'm just going to toss a couple of this out, and then we'll go to cut three. There are people, and I'll tell you, I've said this before on this show, I'll say this again, there are no more than 9 people, for example, that knew about Donald Trump's OTR, off-the-record visit to that golf course this past Sunday. I think it was this last Sunday. No more than 9 people knew about this, and I think 4 were Secret Service agents, and maybe 5, and then a few others. So that narrows that circle down, because that man who hid in that area where the media scrum would be to take photographs, but had his lair there for 12 hours, was given information ahead of time. The same thing with Crooks, but not quite the same, but very similar with Crooks. He knew where to go. He knew where not to go. He knew how to draw attention to himself, and did so for a specific purpose. And again, I'm not giving away any secrets or anything like that. But there were other things at play that led Crooks to do what he did on that day. Your thoughts before I go to cut three?
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
No, I just... You
know. Okay. All right.
They'll be found out.
Yeah. I have no doubt. I have no
doubt.
And
we're not suicidal. Doug's not suicidal. I'm not suicidal. Nobody else on that team is suicidal.
Doesn't it suck to even... you know, I used to think people were dramatizing things when they said that. No. I'm telling you right now. No. You're dealing with some bad people.
And then there's something about it. If they're willing to take out an ex-president that's running again, we don't mean a squad to them.
No. No, we're a bug on the windshield compared to, you know,
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to cut three. This Jonathan Gilliam, I might have played, I'm not. I didn't play this cut, but I've played Jonathan Gilliam before, I believe. And he's a former Navy SEAL, former FBI agent. Listen to what he says in this particular video audio. Cut three, please.
The Trump assassination attempts now involves full force of the department. And I'm thinking, shouldn't that have happened the moment President Trump was shot at? What's going on here?
Well, the full force of the FBI. Let's look at what they've done in full force over the past 10 years. They created and falsified intelligence and information on Donald Trump. They then took that information and did not scrub it to see if it was real, because other people would find out that it wasn't. They took it to a FISA judge who then approved it so they could spy on Trump and his campaign. You fast forward, that didn't hold. You fast forward, they used the judicial system and the legal court system, both federal, state, and local, to go after Trump and eliminate him or bankrupt him financially, and then still try to put him in jail and take him out of the race for president completely. Now you see these attacks that occur, the first one in Pennsylvania, because the threat assessment was completely inadequate. They did not take into account the roof and perimeter security and putting that roof into the frozen zone. Then you see, and no communications, no pulling the president off the stage. They took over 60 seconds to get him off the stage once he stood up, and then took him to the strong side of the car, which was facing the public, still keeping him in the target. You see all these issues on the first one, and you think, okay, can we just say this was incompetence? It's a possibility. But then this happened again 2 months later this past week, or this week, in Florida, where the assassin was laying for 12 hours about 20 yards off a road on a golf course that the president goes to every week, and no one checked the...
That's fine. Cut off a little bit early. But so you cannot extract... And these are my comments, and then I'm going to turn right over to you. You cannot extract the efforts of the deep state to take out President Trump by lawfare. You can't take that away from the entire picture of the assassination attempts, because one didn't work. Plan A didn't work, so we have to have Plan B, Plan C. And now what is the next thing that's going to happen? We have to ask ourselves, because this is... These are not individual, independent events. These are a series of events that are interrelated by the people involved in these actions. Your thoughts?
You're absolutely right. Okay. I'm very, very concerned too. I still don't understand the perimeter security. They're dropping the ball on this perimeter security. That man should not have been in those bushes with a rifle. I'm sorry. I run a tighter ship. You would run a tighter ship.
Oh yeah.
And you have to think, like, you know, you remember how we used to figure out a lot of times what terrorists were doing just by thinking like a terrorist.
It's a hard place to be, but yes.
But you got to go there.
Yep.
And sometimes you have to go there, and you have to learn how to develop that mindset, how to take on your enemy's thoughts. Take on your enemies, lack of morale, morality, all these things. and think like your enemy. And if you stare at their actions and what they do and their motivations and all this and their lives long enough, that's easy to do. So you got to think like a killer. And you got to think like a well-trained. Don't think like this person's going to be a bumbling idiot. Okay? Think that the very best sniper in the world's coming after you. And that's the way you have to think. I'm terrified for their jet that he flies around in. You know, there's so many places that this man is at a disadvantage. Even with top-notch security, there's still times he's at a disadvantage. And that's when we really need our Lord and Savior protecting him.
Who's a common person here making decisions about the appropriation of assets?
That's a real good question. Well, because
I'm going to answer that for you. It's Mayorkas who the buck ends with Mayorkas. Okay, so yeah. That's number
one.
We've
talked about him many times.
Yeah,
it's a very smart individual.
Evil.
He's a piece of crap, but he's very intelligent.
Okay, I'm gonna run some information to you, but to the public. This is not. This is commonly available information, but I'm just gonna go through this. The first assassination attempt with Thomas Matthew Crooks, July 3rd, 2024, is a Wednesday. The Trump campaign announces a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. 3 days later, Crooks searches online about the distance between Oswald and Kennedy, among other things. On that same day, he registers for the Butler. Crooks registered for to attend the Butler rally. And he also visited the site for the first time. This is on the 6th, 3 days after this was announced. And he spent approximately 20 minutes there at the site, driving 53 and a half miles from his house to the site. And it's not an easy drive. It's not a pleasant drive. I'll just say it that way. Monday the 8th.
It's boring. And it just drives forever.
Plus, if you've ever driven through Pittsburgh, well, you know what I mean. July 8th, Monday, Beaver County Emergency Service ESU team leaders receive a request to cover the 13th of July rally. That was 5 days before. Okay. Now, July 12th, which was the Friday, Crooks goes out and he signs into the Clareton Sportsman's Club for the rifle range, using his AR platform rifle used in the assassination attempt. This is according to Christopher Ray's testimony. On the day of the rally, Butler County ESU holds a briefing. It was scheduled for 9 a.m. Everyone else was there. Local law enforcement was there. Secret Service did not attend. Huh. Mayorkas, Cheadle at the time, and even Roe. Just saying. Along with the Pittsburgh office, field office for the U.S. Secret Service. So at 1:30, Crooks' father gave Crooks the rifle to use, which he used. Okay, so, and it was identified as a semi-automatic AR-15 rifle manufactured by DPMS Panther Arms that used a 5.56 45 or 223 caliber bullet. It also had a red dot, AEMS red dot optics attached to the rail and a Magpul extendable rear stock. And this is from FBI Director, Deputy Director Paul Abate. Now, and he testified to that on July 30th of 2024. 25 minutes after Crooks got the rifle at 1:55 p.m., he visited Allegheny Arms and Gun Works, where he purchased 50 rounds of ammunition for that rifle. At 9 minutes to 4 at the Butler rally site, 3:51 p.m., he was at the rally site and flew a drone within 200 yards of the station and podium. Now, I believe, now that was according to Paula Bate, FBI deputy director, but based on everything I saw, it was much closer because 200 yards, you could be standing in a convenience store parking lot. But that aside, he was spotted there at 426. First picture was at 426 of him walking along Vendors Row. At 506, I'm sorry, that was at 506. It was both, actually, 426 and 506. The law enforcement identified him with a rangefinder at 510. At 514, Crooks was photographed seated near the AGR building by Beaver County ESU officer Greg Nickel. This is information that's out there. I'm going to stop there because y'all know what happened next, but he was within eye, ear, and everyone should have known about this man at least by, I'll say, 5 o'clock. And that's being extremely generous, which would have been an hour and 10 minutes, an hour and 11 minutes and 33 seconds to be exact, before he took his first shot. What are your thoughts on that timeline?
He had help. He had help that had authority.
He had help
for people that wouldn't be questioned.
That's right. You tell me.
And that's, I'll be honest with you, I mean, when you go back and you start reviewing these things, you know he had help. You know that somehow, some way, people in authority are involved.
100%.
There's no doubt about that if you look at the evidence that's there. And you don't even have to be, you know, it isn't like, oh, I'm going to come up with a crazy theory. No, it kind of jumps out at you.
100%.
That's the thing. And this kid, they, you know what? They Lee Harvey Oswald at his ass.
Yeah, they did.
Plain and simple. And I have no doubt he hated Trump. I have no doubt of this. I have no doubt of that. Okay. But he was lured into this, in my opinion. And I honestly don't think he thought he was going to be dead at the end of the day.
You know, I spoke to someone, and I didn't tell you this. I spoke to someone, it was at 4:30 in the morning, Wednesday morning, I believe it was, excuse me, who said, what bothered me the most, and this is an experienced law enforcement officer with counter-sniper experience, but he said, what bothered me the most is it appeared that he had an escape route planned. Crooks did. Mm-hmm. And the same individual said, it also appeared the same way with the Florida shooter, attempted assassin. Mm-hmm. There were common factors between both. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to toss something else out at you, and you tell me what you think. This is page one in the show notes, HagmanPI.com, under today's episode. Less than 50 days until life in America changes forever, our nation is primed for massive civil unrest. What caught my attention on this particular piece is Scott Rasmussen, who's a veteran pollster. His national survey of 1,000 registered voters conducted by RMG Research for the first a news service asked Americans about Sunday's second assassination attempt on President Trump, included this pointed question. And here's the question. While it's always difficult to wish ill of another human being, would America be better off if Donald Trump had been killed last weekend, meaning this past Sunday? Look at those numbers. 17% yes, 69% no, 14% not sure. Let's just take the
same. That's a third of Democrats.
Well, that's a third of everybody. A third of registered voters. But the next paragraph, there are approximately 333 million people living in the U.S. 17% of that number is 56.6 million people. So there are approximately 56.6 million Americans that wish that Trump had been killed last weekend.
You know, anybody's going to try and tell us we're not right for a civil war.
It's hard to take, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, and then the article gets worse, actually. Because among Democrats, I'm just going to toss this out. If you scroll down a little bit in the article, according to the same survey, a whopping 28% of all Democrats believe that America would be better off if Trump had been killed. And another 24% are not sure. So that's over half who were either, well, yeah, maybe, or absolutely. But a third of the Democratic voters, a third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had read that article before we went on the air. Yeah, makes your head hurt.
All right, now
we got to bring these people to justice.
We do, and by the way, I mentioned the explosive devices yesterday, and Google and everyone said, "Oh, that's not true. That's not true." Well, according to everything I've got right now, that was true.
And you're talking about overseas?
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the.
Finding them close, close by the rally.
Yeah,
we've seen that from more than one source too.
Yes,
so and they're good sources. They're solid sources.
And Eric, thank you for that. But yeah, so people are saying NASA or the I believe New York City, the five boroughs came out and said no, that didn't happen. Nassau denied it. Nassau County denied it. But no, I don't believe that for a second. I believe
we have way too many flaws. His security detail. I'm not happy with him. I'm really not. That guy was laying over there by that fence in his little nest for some time down there in Florida.
12 hours.
You know what? You know, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, did not anybody even take a golf? I mean, if you're too lazy to walk it, you couldn't have at least taken a golf cart and driven along the fence? I mean, wouldn't that just kind of jump out at you? Just, wow, look at those bushes over there. Maybe someone would hide there and want to shoot the president. I swear, I want to slap these people.
This next cut here, does address that. This is Adam Hardage. This is cut for no coincidences here. I'm not sure how long this is, but to what you just said, okay, it wouldn't have been that difficult. Let's play cut four, and you can come in on the other side.
Adam Hardage, who was a former intelligence officer. Adam, I know it's tough to get you on the air to come out publicly and do these things, so I really appreciate the time you're giving us today, Adam.
Sure.
But a lot of us are concerned about these two assassination attempts on the president. The first one in Butler, we never really got to the bottom of that. Nobody has any idea, no information. Now the second one, like how does somebody get within rifle shot range on a golf course, fifth hole, in a day when the president was not scheduled to play golf and he's sitting there 12 hours. And this guy was also on the FBI watch list, and the DHS said, hey, no problem. They cleared him. You're a former intelligence officer. What is going on here?
In the simplest terms, John, I think this was a sponsored event, both, let's call it attempt number one and attempt number two. I believe both of those were sponsored events. All indications point to that at this point. And when I say sponsored event, I mean, I think your audience is pretty smart. They can know what I'm saying without, you know, necessarily spelling it all out in very clear detail. Do I know who the sponsor is? No, I do not know who the sponsor is. You know, it's one of those things where there are so many clear indicators that this was not either one of these were not a lone gunman incident. So all the things you mentioned about shooting number one, not to mention things like, you know, he was known ahead of time. His mom called in to the police to report him missing. Why would you do that on a Saturday morning with a 20-year-old kid? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense unless there was prior knowledge ahead of time. But then you've got the trips between the local field office and his home. That you've got apparently a connection between Crooks and Routh. That's what I've read. I don't have any confirmation on that. And then you were hearing stories about Routh recruiting foreign fighters to go work in Palestine. And as well, he tried to join Azov Battalion in Ukraine. So there's just a lot of things here that do not add up to the narrative that these were single shooter motivated individuals. I don't buy it. Also, you know, the encrypted offshore bank accounts, the prior knowledge of the president's whereabouts, the fact that, you know, Routh flew in or not flew in, but I guess he did. I'm not sure if he flew in or how he got there. But, you know, the prior knowledge of an unscheduled golf outing and being positioned there, like all these things just adding up. If I was in charge of President Trump's detail, I know that I would be having very long, very personal interviews with his inner circle to find out exactly what is going on there. And I think they've got a leaky boat somewhere.
That's what you said.
I don't know. That's you and I both agreed on that, dog. I mean, this is, there's somebody in there. Plus, they're probably tapping his comms. So, you know, if somebody called somebody, hey, you want to play golf today? Boom. You know, there is definitely a fox in the hen house. And Donald Trump is in danger as long as that person's there. It's bad enough you have to put up with the riffraff on the street that could possibly show up with a rifle. You know what I mean? But to have somebody that's actually being guided and directed. And then possibly be protected by the very people that should be hunting them out, you know, hunting them down. This is a very bad thing. This is,
well,
and like, what's the coincidence with this BlackRock commercials?
Well, okay, one was a BlackRock commercial, the other was used by BlackRock
still, you know, there's so many weird little things that are lining up, and I'm not a believer in coincidence. I just don't buy it.
I don't either. And the phrase sponsored events, I'm gonna say the commonality here, the same sponsors sponsored both events. When you look at the security lapses, those weren't failures. Those were designed to fail or to not cover what needed to be covered.
And the people in the government and people that used to be in the government and are still behind the scenes running the government, you're going to find out they had something to do with this, if not a lot to do with it.
Absolutely, 100%.
I absolutely firmly believe it. I don't feel that in that case I even have to say a name. But people, sit down and think about it. This country has been in some serious trouble since 9/11, especially since 9/11. It's like high speed into oblivion. But this globalist and these people that think that they're God and what they're trying to do to our countries, this and all this immigration, we're not immigrating all this garbage because of the goodness of our hearts. They're trying to destroy the middle class, namely white people. Yeah, I said it. Gee, and who's the biggest racist that you know that was in the government?
Obama.
I can call him a racist. I can call him black. I can call him anything I want. Why? Because he's a racist, and he understands that kind of language. He is not outside of the loop on any of this, in my humble opinion.
And do not think, please, folks, the things that are happening on the sexual exploitation a la P. Diddy or whatever that moron's name is. Don't think that these are not connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like what we always said, it's good and evil. And how many times have Doug and I preached the intertwining of everything? Some of it's distraction. Some of it is, listen, all these people are absolutely of the devil.
Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, I so appreciate you accompanying, well, you being part of the team, and we'll get you the truth, folks. I guarantee you.
And it's going to stink. Yeah, it's going to stink.
It's going to be hard to take. There's Randy Taylor. All right.